Blog Talk Radio.
This is Burning Streets with Winston Smith. Report
from the heated streets of revolution.
To be run down, those burning streets, come on, the sanctuary that's hot at your feet, the late news breaks early.
Good afternoon. With news and entertainment for the proletariat, that's you, I am Winston Smith. This is Burning Streets, and we're now flying under the Here Be Monsters flag. I'd like to thank Gwendolyn Berry for allowing me to hide out here and hopefully add a little bit to the Here Be Monsters lineup, add a new monster, if you will. We're going to be experimenting here on Burning Streets, trying different things, letting the program evolve and morph and develop and maybe mutate as it will. And being the first program under the Here Be Monsters and lacking any feedback, what you're going to get today is all Winston Smith. So if you have any comments or ideas or rants you want heard or added to the show or something taken out of the show, let me know. Send an email to joe@worldwidehippies.com. That's J-O-E at worldwidehippies.com. He will forward it to me. For now, anyway, that's the best way to get a hold of me, but we will have other ways for you in the future. Today we have an interview with David Williams. He is from Roundtree 7, and that's a website that I would like y'all to check out also. He's a cyber activist and a dad, and a good guy. I also have an interesting conversation with a man called Dr. John Kodenpak, a.k.a. Dr. Woody. The doc is going to be a regular on the show. He'll be on the show each week with a segment called For the Sake of Argument. I will also have one of those segments for you later on in the show also. Sherry Pasquarello is here also. She has a good blog, real cool blog. It's called After the Bridge. I would like you all to check out also. She's on the program today, and I had a little talk with her. This program is about activism. It's about news, activism, revolution on this planet, and people. I want to know who you people are and let you know who I am. Our news will be focused quite intensely on the media, mainstream media, and the way they mindfuck us all and subject us to their interpretations and manipulations. And hopefully we can together find ways to see beyond it and get our own news out there. I like music also. I like music a lot. So I'm including a few tunes to break up the show a little bit. It also will give everyone time to take a pee or grab a beer or twist a spliff or whatever. So more about the show later. Right now I want to put to you listeners this question. Does music play less of a role in your life as you get older? I'm a freak. I mean a music freak. Music seems to have been an equal partner in my youthful activism along with the obvious causes back in the 60s and 70s and, honestly, wanting to be cool and get laid also. But the causes are still here. It's the same things back in the 60s and 70s. Same problems, same challenges we are all facing. But as we get older, from the way I see it, it seems like everybody just kind of sinks deeper in the couch and gets back into the, you know, retro music. Nobody's out looking for new stuff. And, you know, I want you to tell me what you think about that. I guess my question is, do we lose that drive, that rebel with a cause attitude, that I'm going to change the world spirit as we age and maybe get, you know, comfortable in our generation's music and stop seeking that new music and that new activism and that new drive? I'd like to know what you think. So let me know in the chat room or give me a call. This will also help me greatly to get used to the controls in the booth here and get you people more active and help me out, and I'll help you out, and let's give this a try. In the meantime, for educational purposes only. That number is 13-160-3557. What you are, what you're meant to be. Speak the same, but you were born to be. Born to be, Cassidy. Walk down the country mile.
Thank you.
Well, that sounded really bad. How did it sound out there to you? I am getting no feedback. Can anybody hear me?
Process of running my website and doing my show and my TV show. I met an interesting man named John Kolnipak, and we get together every now and then and we talk about old war stories from a protest back in the 60s and 70s. I thought it might be interesting to just have a little talk with John, and y'all can listen in.
Dr. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Winston. Happy to be here, brother.
How's things out there, man?
Dry and warm and not wintry enough.
You and I are friends, man. We've talked several times about real activism. You were back in the 60s.
Back in the day, yeah, back in the day.
You were there. And as the people with Occupy Wall Street, I think, have learned, being at a demonstration and choosing to be an activist, it's not something that one does for sport. So I'd like you to tell the people that are listening your experience down there in the University of New Mexico and what you got out of it and how does that move forward today for somebody that's thinking about getting active.
You know the difference between a war story and a fairy tale, don't you, Winston?
What's that?
Fairy tale starts out once upon a time and a war story starts out, this ain't no shit, man, I was there.
Yeah.
So, all right, 1970, May 8th, the week after, the Friday after the shootings at Kent State, there was furor all over the country, and their campuses were ablaze everywhere you turned. There were people all incensed, especially after the word got out that's about the four kids that were killed at Kent State. Well, there was a pretty good activist contingent at UNM then, and they occupied the student union building on the campus, and turned out that the university president, the attorney general, the assistant governor, and the governor were all out of state at the same time. And so the crisis fell in the lap of this really incompetent little state cop named Martin V. Hill, who called out the National Guard. And they came up from Socorro in deuce and a half, and they parked out on Central Avenue, and they got down from their deuce and a half, and they came in line abreast down the promenade with fixed bayonets, and they kept, the reason I know this is I was between them and the students, because I was involved as a marshal of the guys in the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, because we were presumed to have had experience with crises, and so, anyway, it wasn't any place to go, and something happened somewhere, and there was a ripple of violence through the crowd. No gunfire or anything, but 11 people were bayoneted, and I happened to be standing nearby one who was, and it was a guy I knew, gone to high school with. Another fellow and I, who were marshals, saw him go down. They'd nicked his femoral artery, and there's blood going everywhere, and blood has a real interesting smell. I mean, once you, it's unforgettable once it's pumping out there. Anyhow, we grabbed him and got a tourniquet on his leg and hand carried him, lifted him up to carry him to an aid tent. In those days, there was always aid tents around because there were always going to be demonstrations and you never knew. And there was an aid tent, so we carried him there. As we were going by Johnson Gym, that was where the Good Burgers of Albuquerque had come down to watch the hippies get their asses kicked. And we were showered with curses and invective and even some spills. On that day, I have to say, my respect for the average American plummeted to a record low, from which it barely has ever recovered.
So what went on after that? I mean, did you get out of there?
We took him to the aid tent and stayed with him until they stabilized, and we went back to the demonstration. But it started to dissipate after the people were... After the blood flowed, that puts a damper on them.
What I think... Occupy Wall Street got the message, and that's why you have very little Occupy anything right now.
Well, Yeah, it was that winter. I mean, I think 1970 was the high point of the student demonstrations. That was the year they demonstrated, they being the powers that be, the oligarchs, they demonstrated that they'd kill their own children if they had to.
Yeah, being back there myself, I kind of took it the same way. So when you made a decision to go to even a small demonstration, you never had any idea really the way it was going to turn out. And if you'd been at any before, that just reinforced that fact.
Yeah, so, you never knew. That's true.
So
there was also a great deal more public antipathy towards the demonstrators than there has been of late. I mean, back in the day, you had the hard hats who hated the hippies, and there was always that tension between the folks on the streets, on the sidelines, and those in the streets, you know, which they were not on the same side.
You and I talk quite often about these times. What do you have to say to anybody that is interested in becoming active as far as being out in the streets? And
I'll tell you one thing that we always knew about was you carried a wet handkerchief with you in case you ran into tear gas.
Yeah.
Don't get close to a police horse.
Do you think that that's even, that the whole paradigm of demonstrations is even worthwhile at all anymore, given that the powers that be, I mean, they can shut down anything anytime they want.
I'll put it this way. When you have nothing, you have nothing to lose. That's a truism. But it's also true that when you have anything, you have everything to lose. And it probably isn't going to get back into the streets until a lot more people have a lot less to lose.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that a Facebook or an internet petition is worth the pixels it's printed with. There's so many of them that there's such a superfluity of them, and there's petitions in about everything. I mean, you can't hardly throw a cat without hitting a petition anymore. Sure, the internet is not a place where you're going to find effective activity against the machine, because the machine basically owns the internet.
Exactly. They can shut it off at any time.
So, I mean, what else is there? There's the streets, it seems to me. That's all there's ever been.
Somehow we got to do it, Doc. What are your hopes for the future, Doc?
That's interesting. I don't have any. I can't see that it matters. That I don't think there's much that we can do. I think that pretty much the die has been cast. The ship of state's not a bad analogy, because it takes so dang long to stop it and turn it.
Yeah. But you have that drive that you're still out there trying to turn it, Doc. I mean, you're out there.
I'm trying to teach a class, that's all, Winston. I I'm long ago give up any hope that I was going to have any effect on anything. I know stuff. I'm happy to talk about it, and that's basically what I do.
Well, keep doing it, Doc, and I encourage everybody to get out there, and you can find the Doc. All you got to do is look, type into a search engine.
You can probably get it with my handle on Facebook, which is Woody99er Konopac.
Yeah, well, and even Dr. Woody, I pull stuff up on you all the time.
Oh, good. Okay, there you go. Well, then, glad to know that. That's another one I got to start Googling.
Anyway, thanks a lot, Doc.
You bet you, Winston. See you at the beach.
Okay, man. Take it easy. Well, I am having some technical difficulties here, but I'm going to take it for granted you people can still hear me out there. I'm still waiting for callers to come in. Something's happening in the chat room. If there's somebody out there and you get a chance, our news is really not up to date, and I don't want to kind of put old news out to you there. If anybody is up to date on what's happening in Kiev, what's happening in Venezuela, what's happening in Fukushima, please call in. And in the meantime,
David Williams, welcome to Burning Streets.
Hello.
David, like I had said, is a cyber activist. And because we don't have a lot of time, I'm going to turn it right over to you, David, for you to explain to people listening what Roundtree 7 is, and you know how you come up with it and who's in it, and
what you get out of it.
Well, Roundtree 7 started as basically a conversation. We were talking about the power of social media and the ability of having a small window of the average person getting his message out to a large group of people. It was initially like the concept of a round table. You know, you have the knights, you know, something corny, but you have the knights in the round table, and they're all going out on their missions. But I took from the table, I wanted to bring a little bit more of a concept of the tree, the trunk, the branching, and the leaves, and so I called it tree. And then we originally had seven members, so it was, became Roundtree 7. And take it a little bit further, and I say, well, why not make a, almost a virtual family where everybody of Roundtree 7 becomes a family member that, you know, if they have some sort of need for, say it's like, you know, financial support, or if they have a, whether they're coming by in the, some part of the country where another member is, you know, they can stay the night, or, you know, just being able to call in the middle of the night and, you know, talk or whatever. You know, just like a regular family.
That's a great idea. Roundtree 7, now, what has come up with it? You have a Facebook page too, correct?
Yes. I have my own personal page, it's David Williams, but we also have a group, and that group is called Journey with Roundtree 7.
You're also part of the Common Project Network. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That is, it's sort of a different concept from Roundtree 7. That was meant to be like a community square where activists can go to the square and then just talk about what they're doing, you know, and that's really what the Commons Project Network is. It's a portal or a hub that allows the activists to put links to what they're doing, maybe on their sites, or you know, maybe they made a video on YouTube, but it allows them to bring it to the community square and basically announce it. It's a bulletin board of activists.
So, David, now tell me a little bit more about you. I mean, you got a pretty busy job, and actually you got a pretty big family, too. How do you work all that in? What amount of time do you put into this stuff? And why do you do it?
Well, yeah, I'm an engineer, and anybody that knows engineers or knows an engineer, that they know that they usually spend quite a lot of time on their job. Probably 60 hours a week for me. But the thing is that I do have two kids, and I was really concerned about where the world was going and what kind of places they're going to be living in when they're grown up. I mean, are they going to be able to have an education? Are they going to be able to get a job? Are they going to have clean water or not have someone, you know, spying on them on their every move? And, you know, a lot of these things concerned me, and that was the driving force of creating this Roundtree 7 is, of course, you know, nobody gets paid on the site, but everybody is concerned about the future.
I know quite a few people that are either part of it or associated with it want to find out what's really going on in a loving way or as loving as possible over the internet. Roundtree 7 is a good place to start.
Yes, I agree. I mean, it has the stories, but it also has things like, you know, like poetry or storytelling or you know, trying to deliver messages that maybe are not so strident and harsh and in your face. The whole point of Roundtree 7 was to be a visual experience, the ability to allow images to create thought as well as words.
Well, David Williams, it's really been enjoyable talking to you. And
thank you.
For the people out there, you've got to get over to this site, roundtree7.com. Again, thank you very much, David, and I'll be talking soon.
Yes, it was fun.
Okay.
Thank you.
How's it going, brother?
And that was David Williams from Roundtree7.com. Again, check it out over there. Sorry for the music earlier. Again, this is a big learning curve here. That will not be posted again until we figure out how to actually play music that's in key. In the meantime, I'd like to introduce a real special lady, Sherry Pascarello. She is in Pennsylvania, and she is, I would say, an activist, but she's also a poet, and she's also does a lot of political commentary, and this is my interview with her.
Sherry Pascarello, political activist, mother, wife, grandmother, and owner and publisher of After the Bridge website blog. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Sherry, you're based down in Pittsburgh, correct?
Yes, I am.
Well, now, have you always, like, focused out of Pittsburgh, stayed around that area, or have you...
Oh, yeah, this is my home. I love it. I don't think I could live anywhere else.
Now, you started being politically active a long time ago, back in the 60s, maybe, 70s?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the 60s, I spent a lot of time, even though I was a teenager, I spent a lot of time in the city proper, and
mm-hmm.
I always have been.
So now you've brought that forward to, you know, you've raised your children, you've got grandchildren now,
mm-hmm.
and you could just, I don't know, start going on cruises, I guess, but instead
mm-hmm.
you decide to start After the Bridge. What made you start that? And it's been around quite a while. How has it evolved to what it is now?
It started out as a poetry blog, but being as how I've always been a political junkie, it's just more and more and more came out, especially the way things have been going and all the laws now that are getting subverted. And I have a granddaughter, and I'd like to leave her a better world. I'd like to leave everybody's little kid a better world.
Now, there's still poetry on the blog also, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yes. There's poetry, and, like, my poems are in, the first 2 years in the archive. If anybody wants to go back and check them out, I'd
mm-hmm.
really like that.
Beyond the After the Bridge blog, which, is,
mm-hmm.
again, I recommend everybody go over there. It's pretty cool. You've been at Worldwide Hippies for over 4 years. How do you like working over there?
I love working over there, and the thing is, because I can say anything that I want, and because I'm not a writer, I'm a poet, I write in pure Pittsburghese. If you knew the way Pittsburghers speak, nobody else in the country can talk with it. And because my editor just lets me write the way I speak, I don't have to, like, clean it up.
Isn't there a local bar you kind of hang at?
Oh, yeah, that would be Lachlan's Pub.
Isn't that kind of a news source for you?
Yeah, because Lachlan's, God love him, there, it's in an old coal mining town. It's a small coal mining town. They're very hardworking people. They've been there for generations since they first came over from the old country, and they're very insulated. I'm friends with them. They like me. They just, now I'm like their token liberal.
Yeah.
I do. I come in there and they'll just look at me. Now they'll ask me. And they do. They actually, when you get to know people and you get to talk to them and you treat them with the respect that you would like, then they start to listen to you, too. And I am the only person in that bar parking lot with liberal stickers and a Worldwide Hippie bumper sticker.
You go, girl.
Oh, yeah, I'm brave.
Well, Sherry, it's really, really been enjoyable, and I hope to have you on the show again. I just got to say thanks. Keep doing what it is you do. And if there's one thing you can say, or several, before we go.
We're all getting older, and you cannot wake up some morning. I would hope that being our age and older, that people would want to be remembered for trying.
Well, Sherry, thank you very much, and I'm smiling ear to ear. And let me just say that her blog is After the Bridge. Is that afterbridge.com?
Blogspot.
Blogspot.com. Okay. After the Bridge at blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
And she's twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, at worldwidehippies.com. And you can also find her on Facebook. Yep. Well, have a good day there, sister, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you very much.
And that, again, was Sherry Pascarello. Please check out After the Bridge. Again, we're battling with some technical things here, but nothing's going to stop the show from moving forward. I'm going to, let's see what we should do here. I think we're going to go and give you a little bit more of the doc.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico, for the sake of argument, I'm Dr. John Konopak. As the country struggles still more than 5 years later to climb out of the financial pit dug by unregulated predatory capitalism, it's worth remembering that the roots of the recent recession, the Great Recession, go back to the late 1990s in the cleanest White House and the Congress when they agreed to repeal the Depression-era law known as the Glass-Steagall Act, which was kind of strange even at the time because there was nothing really wrong with the Glass-Steagall Act unless you were a banker, a financier, and a globalist, because it prohibited the kinds of financial manipulation, scams, and tricksy deals that got the bankers terribly wealthy in the 90s and brought on and ushered in the Great Recession of 08. The cleanest penis was just a pretext under which the rightards could attack the legitimacy of any opposition to their rule, as well as to undermine the structural foundations of the people's sovereignty, which was in fact their long-term goal. The Fedorinsky was a significant part of that project. Distracted by the scent of that skanky pussy, the press followed the obvious poontang trail and ignored what else was going on in Congress at the time, which was far more important than significant. I sometimes wonder if Cleanest didn't sign the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act in some kind of deal with the GOP just to sort of give him a quid pro quo so they'd lighten up for his last year. Anyway, that's what it looked like in retrospect. Albuquerque, New Mexico, for the sake of argument, Dr. John Konopak. Back to you in the studio, Winston.
That was Dr. John with For the Sake of Argument. And one thing you have to say about John, he kind of says what he thinks. Love you, Doc. Here's my raw cause for this week. I received an email last week from Donna Lieberman, Executive Director of New York Civil Liberties Union. Okay. Donna Lieberman. We go way back, yeah. Winston, NYCLU makes history, protecting your right to protest. New York City agreed to pay nearly $18 million for the arrest, detention, and fingerprinting of lawful protesters during the 2004 Republican National Convention, the largest protest settlement in history. Check out NYCLU's important video marking this historic occasion. She went on to say, the New York Civil Liberties Union filed the first case following the convention and has been central to the legal challenge to the New York Police Department's actions. No lawful protester should be treated like a criminal in New York City or anywhere else in the United States. This historical settlement will serve as a reminder that the right to protest is a fundamental pillar of a fair and functioning democracy, and that it is the role of government and law enforcement to not only tolerate protest, but protect and defend it. Be part of history, she went on to say. Again, watch an incredible video commemorating this historic win for the First Amendment and share it on your website. We are proud of the work we do here, she said, and grateful that you stood with us all through it. Thank you, Winston, for playing a vital role in protecting New Yorkers' civil rights. Wow, Donna, did you write that yourself? Kind of sounds like Donna wanted a little fanny pack from Winston Smith. How about some raw cause honesty instead, Donna? If my right to protest needed protecting, how can it be a right? Rights are just that. They're rights. Anything else is a privilege. Don't really want to get wordy on you, Donna, but your new speaking sister, and I'm calling you on it. We have a right to protest whether you win a few bucks or not in court. You, the New York Civil Liberties Union, can protect nothing but the system you have sworn an allegiance to through the bar. Tell the proles the truth. You have a right to protest no matter. You might be in prison, might be beat up, you might be humiliated, you might even die, and so on. In fact, you can count on some of that.
We're powerless within this system you are dedicated to, Donna. America, like the rest of the world, is systematically run by the lawless. How the fuck do you win anything within that, Donna? Occupy Wall Street, the Republican National Convention protest proves sticking to the rules is impossible. They keep changing the rules, Donna. The $18 million, that works out to about $900 per $900 per protester. Not that the $900 will ever reach the protesters themselves without a few fees or legal bullshit knocking that amount down. It's part of the system, too. It will even feed off the process of justice itself. How many lawyer friends do you have, Donna? I bet you've got quite a few. I bet you even got more through the connections within the system. Because if you ain't got connections within the system, you don't work. The system freezes. Get a few thousand of your friends together, Donna, and march down to Wall Street naked from the waist down. Tell the system to kiss your asses, and then go tell the pros how the system really works. Tell them, Donna. There will be no mass protest in this country. The only people who get out of jail free cards are one percenters and oligarchs. If the protest gets too big, in comes the militarized police. Too many protests going on at one time? Bring in the fucking army. It's all legal. Even if you are in a government-sanctioned protest zone, get a little too big, you're going to jail. Do not pass Donna's house. Do not collect your $900. And most importantly, you're not going to be heard. I'll repeat that. You will not be heard. That's the reason we protest to begin with, Donna. How is that ever a win? Sister, look, you and the NYCLU want to do the cliche civil rights lawyer thing. Go ahead. But save the digital space, sister. Some of us been there, done that. Protesters' rights don't need protecting. The system does. That's what you and the NYCLU is doing, protecting the system. Every person has to choose a side in this revolution. Get off the fence, Donna. You might have to lose the privilege of practicing law in a lawless society to protect anything. In closing, Donna, I have not been to New York City in over 20 years. The last Donna I knew was a cute short-haired brunette who sold hot dogs and hamburgers from a cart. So stop with the emails, will you? They distract me from more important activist emails concerning my list. I'm Winston Smith, progressive, liberal, radical man with a list. And very comfortable being so. Saving the best for last, sisters and brothers. First, a disclaimer. Do not ever, ever, ever try this in the U.S. Ever. You will be shot. A truckload of shit was dumped at a French parliament and protest. A man driving a full-scale industrial delivery truck pulled up to the parliament building and dumped a whole load of shit on the front steps. I kid you not. The side of the truck said, out with the entire political class, long live the Sixth Republic. You gotta hand it to the French. They know how to protest. Doesn't get them anywhere, but it's really good for my morale.
That's it for the show this week. Sorry for all the... Well, not really. Hey, got it done, right? And we will be here next week, hopefully a little bit cleaner, a little bit tighter, and with some music that doesn't sound sour. So you all have a good week. This is Winston Smith.
This has been Burning Streets, brought to you by Here Be Monsters, hosted at blogtalkradio.com every Saturday at 3 o'clock Eastern, replayed on worldwidehippies.com, part of the Common Projects Network. I am Winston Smith. Remember, we are all suspects now. Time to act like it. Take us out.